Welcome to Equip, a special edition of the Teen Pact podcast brought to you by the Teen Pact Alumni Network. Here, we provide tools and resources to help you navigate your career, grow in your faith, and equip you to glorify God through your talents and passions. Thanks for joining us.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Equip, which are monthly podcasts produced by the Teen Pact Alumni Network for the purpose of encouraging you in areas of leadership, spiritual growth, and career development. My name is Carlin Sullivan, and I will be your host today, and I am super excited to speak to our two guests today. And due to the nature of the work and the location of what they're doing, we will not be saying their names nor where they are currently living, but hello, you two.
Hey.
Hi.
So happy to be with you.
So grateful.
That's exciting. So y'all are both part of the Teen Pact Network and part of the Teen Pact family, and would love for our listeners to hear just a little bit about your Teen Pact experience and how connected to the ministry.
Teen Pact loud and proud.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for me, I started, you know, I think as most of us do, just as, hey, it's a fun way to get high school credit. Let's do that instead of just doing a CLEP test. But from there, of course, it blossomed into friendships and equipping and leadership, of course, and a reignition of my decision and my love of Jesus, decision to follow and love of Jesus, and really recommitting my heart to it at that point. And
shout out Steve Crum.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob Chambers and we can say so many more. But yes, we had such a fun time in the Teen Pact days. And since then, it has taken me on a journey of different things in my workplace. And it's taught me that I can do hard things, even though, you know, at the time I was young. I don't feel that young anymore since I, you know, have a little one of my own running around. She's introducing herself. But yeah, I'm so grateful for the time that I spent in Teen Pact, and it taught me a lot.
Yeah. And same for me. We're both students, then turned into staffers and travel staffers and interns. And we loved our experience at Teen Pact. We're super grateful for it.
That's awesome. So y'all took a little bit of a non-traditional route after Teen Pact. Did not choose careers that were typical for most people. So can you tell us a little bit about about what you're doing now, as much as you can tell us?
Absolutely, absolutely. So because names and faces and location aren't being shared, we can be pretty open about it. So we're workers in the Middle East right now, in a really unique nation. We love where we live. We're actually in what's considered the infidel capital of this nation. it's a nickname, predominantly a Muslim background. And we're doing both missional work in terms of going out, sharing discipleship, both within the somewhat of a local church context that there is here, supporting the locals who are currently in leadership, as well as trying to start some underground stuff as we have time and space. Additional to this, it's needed within our country to have a business platform. And so while in country, I do sales consulting for a few different businesses. Different people on our team have English trained, teaching business, leadership consulting, things like that. And so it really looks a lot like what work does in America, honestly, just with people who speak a different language, have a different cultural, religious background than what we normally do in the States.
So vastly different than what you anticipated what you were going to do. So
vastly different.
And I want to get into how you heard that call. But before we get into that, when did the seed first get planted that perhaps this might be something that the Lord was calling you to?
Sure, you want to take a swing at that one first?
Well, for me, I grew up in the creative worship arena a lot of time. I did a lot of just creative stuff as I was growing up and going through school, and all of the environment that I was in was always focused on, you know, using arts for, you know, a missional purpose for experiencing God and reaching the nations, you know, through whatever kind of arts it was. And so even when I was about maybe 15, 16, 17, the idea of going to the nations was not foreign to me. And it was kind of like, maybe that would be a cool thing to do at some point in time. I love learning languages and different cultures are so fun. How cool would it be to live in, you know, a different culture? But I think at the time in our lives, we had just gotten married. And I don't think that was on our radar to be like, yeah, it's time to up and leave. it wasn't a foreign idea, but it definitely wasn't on the front of my brain. Like, yes, this is my calling right at the moment. This is what I'm pursuing right now. And so it was a fun journey.
Yeah. I think for me, I never expected and I never wanted to go to the nations and be a missionary, to be a worker in whatever context that looked like. I wanted to be the guy who was an entrepreneur or a salesman making a bunch of cash and maybe sending people to the nations, equipping people maybe in like a pastoral context, but never as someone who went. And so whenever the Lord kind of started nudging us in this direction, it was a definite process of the Lord cutting, I think, legitimately idols out of my life in particular of business, money. What's my definition of success in life? What does that look like? And really kind of softening my heart to, all right, Lord, I'm willing to do anything at any time and anywhere. You just have to tell me. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for Christians, it's so hard to discern God's will. Like I've heard people say, you know, it'd be so nice if you just got like an email or a text.
Here's amen.
You know, okay, I'll obey. How was your call confirmed? I'm interested to hear a little bit more about that. I mean, you had the idea come to you about going to this foreign country. So how did you determine, like, is that me? Is that you? Am I crazy? Sure. Am I being obedient?
Absolutely. No, I mean, we really struggled with this question of like, what does it mean to discern the will of God? What does it mean to discern his voice and where he's calling? Because at the time, I loved my job. She loved her job. And so really kind of the process that we took was we both just started to feel this nudge from the Lord. And that's really the only way I can describe it is like, man, like what if this was a potential? And for us, like I'm sure anyone who's listening comes from a variety of different tradition that they grew up in the faith. And the tradition that I grew up in, man, high authority and value on the word of God. That is the infallible word of God. This is the spirit inspired, God breathed. This is what we have and we can live life from this. But then when it came to questions of like, should I take this job or that job? Or should I stay in the States or go to the nations? There's not necessarily this like playbook that says step one, do this, step two, do that. And so it really was this journey for us of being like, so like, what does it mean to discern the will of God? And I think something that was really encouraging for both of us, and love, feel free to speak on this, is so Romans 12 talks about this actually. And Romans 12, 2 is like, hey, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I remember reading that and being like, okay, so scripturally it says that
possible.
I can actually test and approve. And so it became this process for us, like, what does it actually mean to like test this? Like, what does it mean to test it? And I think we both got a lot of comfort out of James 1. It just talks about wisdom. And it's like, hey, if anybody lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, he says, like, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave that's like blown and tossed by the wind. That person should expect to receive nothing. And for us, we're like, okay, so if we're going to ask because we're lacking wisdom, we believe and do not doubt, I still have this thing in my brain that's like, well, is it me or is it the Lord? And something just maybe a small filter that we have been able to use and we used in this process was just, so Galatians 5, 13 through 15 talks about like the life lived with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And for us, as we're in this process of just asking the Lord and waiting on the Lord, like, hey, should we go to the nations? What are we doing? A really big thing for us was whatever we're receiving, whether it's scripture, something that's intuitively coming to our minds. I can get into a little bit of our stories later of like dreams that we had, crazy encounters. It's like, are we sensing the fruit of the Spirit from this? Because if the Holy Spirit breathes scripture, and we also believe that like the Spirit that lives inside of Jesus also communicates with us today, then it means that for us, that scripture will then be able to confirm or deny what we're hearing. And for us, this is a very comforting process of as we land the Lord, all right, hey, are we sensing the fruit of the Spirit with what we're listening to? Is what we're receiving from God, can the scripture back this up? Is scripture behind us in this? Is scripture disconfirming this? Does it go against scripture? If you're using that filter of, can I confirm this with scripture and or, and I'll say, the fruit of the Spirit, are we sensing that throughout this process? It gives us more comfort that, okay, this is of the Lord. And so then, do you want to speak to a little bit of the journaling process that we kind of went through?
Yeah, like waiting on the Lord. So at that time, you know, really important, of course, we were all about community and team pact and raising each other up and walking with each other and bringing each other to a, you know, an even better level, a level of rightness with the Lord. And so I'm so grateful for our community that we were in at that point, because of them, we began to ask those questions. You know, we wouldn't have necessarily have just been like, huh, I wonder if we should, you know, go to this nation just for fun. We wouldn't have started that, but the Lord started that process through other people with us.
Yeah.
And so we were in a training school at that point, and it was just a really sweet time of just learning to sit before the Lord. And so one of the exercises that they had us do was called a 30-day journal, which is simply taking questions and asking God every day for 30 days that same question and just writing down what we sensed, what we heard, scripture that came to mind, phrases, whatever it was, and just writing those down and simply being a reporter, not trying to be a detective during that portion, but just writing down what we felt was coming to our mind and our heart. And that at the end of those 30 days, taking what we felt like the Lord was telling us and sensing this pattern for, you know, the different questions that we were asking. Lots of different people were asking, you know, simple things like, hey, should I take this job? Should I move to a different city? Things like that. But the questions that we were asking was like, hey, should we consider, you know, changing our life completely and going to this nation that you've kind of been speaking to us a little bit. And so for 30 days, we just asked those questions, just waited on the Lord, and just trusted that the good and perfect Father, who delights to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, like it says in Luke, would tell us what he wanted for us. I think it's a really interesting thing, and it's very telling of how we view Jesus and how we view God, if we view him as a place of comfort and trust and rest. You know, that who knows the backgrounds that people come from and what their view of Father is. But according to what scripture talks about, we have to believe that God is a good and kind Father if we're gonna follow him at all. And so that was for me, you know, something to go back to each time. It's like, I'm not sure what I'm hearing. Is he gonna speak to me today? You know, is this gonna be something different? And just having to really lean into the trust of my God is good. He is kind. He is not hiding from me. He is all the things that he says in scripture. And, you know,
I think a piece of that for you is, as you were journaling, you didn't necessarily feel like you sensed much.
I didn't see anything very concrete. And I was just so desperate for just, yes, go to X nation on this date. I wanted the email, you know.
Well, they.
Love that. But I got, you know, this stuff that seemed so just ethereal and like just very, you know, I got things that just did not feel concrete at all. And so after this
encouraging scripture, but not necessarily like specific nation.
Right. Solid senses, you know, hey, be willing to go. Hey, follow you know, just what is your husband saying? Hey, you know, talk to your people. Here are some random scriptures. And I was like, this is great, but this is not what I was hoping for. And so another part of listening to God is after matching it to scripture and matching it to the character of God and the fruit of the Spirit, is trusting what he gives you, even if it's maybe not exactly the kind of response that you are hoping for.
Yeah.
When you're journaling, though, did you see like a thread coming through? Because I think that's such a great concept, is you just take one question or one area question of your life. And because I think just because of who we are, it's so easy to forget, like, oh, that was yesterday's impression or that scripture. Oh, but when it's all written down, you can't really refute what you're seeing. So
I felt like I did.
To see that?
I did, yeah. Thankfully, and it's, you know, it was a very comforting thing to, you know, continue to hear the same thing over and over, in and amongst the questions of, oh my gosh, God, was that me? I don't know. And to have a very similar sense, not the same thing every day, but a very similar sense, and feeling that painted a picture,
yeah,
and it was complete.
I think something else that we wanted is, like, we didn't want to just be like, all right, Lord, should we go to X Nation? And in that moment be like, I think he says yes, let's go. Like,
exactly.
Give the Lord time to speak, and like, let my emotions, like, obviously the Lord gave us emotions, but like, let my emotions not get in the way of like actually just waiting on the Lord. And there's so many promises in scripture about just like, hey, wait on the Lord. And mm-hmm. just to have the time so that you can filter out, okay, I think that was me. And then this one, oh man, God told me this. And I feel like I got this scripture from Isaiah and X, Y, and Z. And I think in this time for me, we both knew that, like, in scripture, I think it's in Acts 1:8, Jesus is like, hey, go be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we knew that, like, whether we were in the States, in Canada, or like anywhere else in the world, like, our call as believers to be witnesses to the risen Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we knew that that was it, but it's the question of, like, so then is this opportunity for us? Mm-hmm. And for me in this time, I had some pretty exceptional experiences. And I think, I know, Carl, we've talked about it previously, but I think I, up until this point in my life, I had always dreamt. I always had dreams. I never really took them seriously. And it was in this time where I started noticing a scripture of, like, God spoke to people in dreams. And just reading stories of Daniel and of Joseph and of Joseph and Mary. And like, you go on and like Paul with the Macedonian man. And during this journaling time, actually for 5 days straight, I had dreams. And in my dreams, actually, I would be in this specific country speaking this specific language.
That I did not know.
That I did not know. And I would wake up and I would remember a phrase and I would go to Google Translate, like the voice text feature, I would voice it in. And it was this language. It was completely true, this language, and it blew my brains. And during this like 3-day period, we were also in San Antonio. And again, I just want to reiterate, there's enough in scripture that says to go to all nations that I didn't need any of this, but I feel like it was the kindness of God to give it to us. And we're in San Antonio along the Riverwalk. For some reason, I really had to go to the bathroom all throughout this evening. And the first time I walked into this restroom, so I'm washing my hands, and this guy walks up next to me and looks at me like straight in the eyes and goes, hey, I'm from this specific nation, the same nation I just had 5 days straight of dreaming of dreaming in that language. And he goes, where are you from? And in this one night in San Antonio, I ended up running into 3 people from this specific nation, all initiating with me going, hey, almost the exact same. I am from blank, basically, where are you from? And it was this moment being like, Lord, like, what are you doing? And so I feel like that was kind of like the seed in the process for us of like, all right, Lord, I think you're moving us in this direction, but we don't really know what the next step is.
Those are very bizarre encounters.
Very
unique, because not often people go up to strangers and say, hi, I'm from some foreign country. Where are you from? Particularly right. from the same foreign country. So I consider that a text that you are in from the Lord, that yes, you are in the right place.
Amen.
So these concepts that you've talked about discerning the Lord's will, I mean, what y'all have done is just incredible and where the Lord has moved you. But these concepts can be used whether or not you're trying to decide for sure whether or not to change jobs or what career to go into, what college to go to. So I love that the journaling and the praying for the Lord to give you the fruits of the Spirit can be used really in any aspect of our lives. We don't all have to go across the ocean to be doing the Lord's will in our life, but it's so exciting to see what y'all are doing for sure. What has been the biggest challenge in saying yes and also the biggest blessing in following this path that he has for you?
Gosh, it's so hard. It's so hard to find something because as far as the challenges go, you know, of course, everything is challenging. We are deeply connected and very aware of this nation's, you know, government process as far as like, you know, getting a permit, where to live, knowing how to turn on our natural gas, knowing where to, you know, pay this rent, whatever. And so that's obviously some challenges that we weren't really, you know, expecting to come across.
It was a nightmare.
It was genuinely a nightmare in the beginning, but that was a funny story.
We laugh now.
We laugh now. We cried then.
We cried so many times upon entering this country.
But as far as challenges, it's I think for me, I think I did not anticipate the range of people's experiences and their belief backgrounds. I was like, okay, Muslim nation, so you're probably gonna get the people who are, you know, really, really into it, and those are kind of like nominal, and like America. But again, like America, there is just an entire range, a whole color wheel of people and their experiences and their backgrounds. And so, and you know, not to mention all the people of different countries and different nationalities who have come to our country and the city. And so there's just a whole bunch of just different experiences and people that that we come across each day. And nobody's approach to the Lord is cut and dry. Like, I think that's the thing that I've been learning the most recently, and like, you know, taking people
has been also most challenging.
Yeah, definitely been challenging. And so, like, you know, it's not necessarily just, you know, oh, well, you were taught that way, raised that way, that's your, you know, your culture, your tradition, and here's a really simple formula about, you know, how to walk that thought process back, and, you know, now we can talk about Jesus and it's easy. And no, that there's everybody's personal experience, everybody's culture, everybody's family and background is just, it's a whole individualistic approach, and it has to be. And I think that's been very challenging, but also very sweet, because God is an individual God, and he doesn't have, you know, a perfect five-step plan MLM kind of thing for everybody to be happy. And like, it's, he comes as an individual, again, like a father, and you know, a parent and parents each child very specifically. You don't get to apply one parenthood to all the children in your family. And I think that the Lord does the same thing with his children. And so for me to be changing that mindset of mine, I think that's been challenging. And yeah, just listening to him on how to go about it. That's the biggest thing in my brain in the moment.
Yeah. I think, like, of course, leaving family has been super challenging.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, my wife being an only child, there was just this aspect of, like, by us choosing to go overseas, for us, it's firsthand obedience, right? Like, the Lord has asked us to go, directly to go. And so we're like, all right, absolutely. But for our families, it's like secondhand obedience. Like, hey, if as the family of the person going, you're going to be behind them and for them, that is the fact that they're going is unwilling. Like, you're not saying, hey, I think you should go, but it's like, hey, the decision has been made. Now, how do you respond as families? Like, just knowing that our families had to have that secondhand obedience, like, that's tough. That's tough to be able to do. And I think, like, I have two young siblings, and just the reality of, like, we are thousands of miles away. And am I going to be the older brother that just was out, that just wasn't there? And just having to process all these things before the Lord of, like, Lord, I know you're worthy. This kind of sucks. Like, I know, like you're worthy of anything you would ask. But at the same time, these are just hard.
Yeah,
they're hard to feel like, hey, I'm willing, and like, and I think everyone uniquely has those ouchy points in whatever the Lord's asking them to go into. And I could go on for an hour more of ouchy points. But at the end of the day, I feel like ultimately where I think we've come to is like, yeah, God's good. And what he invites us into is for our good, and also for the good of the people around us, even if it doesn't look like it's good. And we have seen sweetness in our families since moving, and a depth of communication and family intimacy that I think we wouldn't have had otherwise. And so for anything that we may have lost in the last couple of years since being over here, I feel like the Lord has honestly redeemed tenfold ways that we would not have expected.
And that's scriptural, right? And that's what he says. That's what he says in scripture. He says anybody that leaves, you know, father, mother, brother, field, whatever, for me will gain it back, you know, 10, 30, 60, 100 times. And we, you know, yeah, we can't see the fullness, the fulfillment of that yet, but we're absolutely getting sweet tastes of, yes, this is worth it. There's a new Upper Room song that I love. And it says, you are worth what you ask for. And it's true. He is worth what he asks for. He gives us glimpses of the sweetness that will come for eternity. And yeah, he's kind to give those tastes now, because What does scripture say? He desires obedience, not sacrifice.
Well, it's very evident that your obedience has led just to a sweet spirit of peace among your family. And it's just been a blessing to watch and to see and to cheer and pray for y'all from afar. We're just excited for what you're experiencing, for what the, how the Lord's using all three of you. So that's a blessing. Any last, as we wrap up, any last words for someone who might be at a crossroads in their life, trying to determine God's call in life, in addition to what you've already shared? Any last thoughts?
I mean, I would say that, yeah, we applied this process to a very big decision. You know, moving across the world is pretty major, but I would say, listening to the Lord and getting comfortable with that process, for, you know, the smallest of decisions, the smallest of things is, you know, it's flexing a muscle. It's something that, can and I think totally should be applied to everyday things. Like, hey God, what do you have for me today? Big open-ended question, but allowing that space to speak all the way to, you know, hey, should I, go to this school? Hey, should we take this job? Hey, should whatever it is, like, you can get bigger and bigger. I think we always do the seeking in the really big decisions, but man, how sweet is it whenever we have that as a lifestyle, listening at every moment. Like my current prayer is like, I want to be so in tune with you, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you just talk to me as I'm just walking down the road? I just want to have that, you know, satellite dish attention to you, so that at any moment, whenever you speak something to me, I'm ready. And it doesn't have to be only about the really big life changes to apply that, you know, the listening, the seeking.
I heard John Mark Comer say recently that if we just open our eyes and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? I mean, we all have our plans, but help me not be so beholden to my schedule, to my plan for my life, to not feel the nudge if someone comes to my mind to send them a text, to say a prayer, to pivot, just be willing to pivot. Now y'all did a major pivot to why do I call this person or take a meal to that person? So I think many of us listening are like, Lord, we don't want to go overseas. The minute you say you don't want to, the Lord is probably like, knock, knock.
LOL.
Hey, shout out John Mark Comer. Ruthless Relationship 3 has been a great book.
It is so true. It is so true.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would just want to reiterate that, like, we don't have to be scared. I think for a long time, I was very scared of making decisions because I was very scared of, is this me? Is this me? And I think that's actually a really good thing to consider, because we want to follow Jesus. We do not want to follow ourselves. But at the same time, I would say that God has given us scripture so that we may have confidence coming before the throne of grace. And knowing God is a mystery. And if we try to make it too formulaic, we get lost in the process. But just to, like, as if you're on a crossroads, you're like, Lord, it is not clear in scripture if I should go to school A or school B, job A or job B. Should I ask this girl to date or that girl to date? Like, hey, you can talk about any of these things. I think it's just this process of going before the Lord and being like, hey, I'm willing to listen. And it can look a variety of ways. We've talked about scripture being used, impressions or promptings from the Lord, dreams, random people. And it can look so many different ways. It doesn't have to look a specific way, but just like, if you're grounded in scripture, I'm just reminded of, what is it? Let me try to find this real quick. I believe it's basically, I don't remember what it's scripture, but it's talking about, hey, but like, solid food is for the mature. I can remember it, which by constant use, you've been able to distinguish good from evil. And it's like, hey, if you're unsure, get in scripture, read, and then ask God a question consistently over time. And whatever impression you get, whether that's things to your mind, a dream you have, talks and conversations within your community, things that stick out for you from scripture, make a note of it, and then look up Hebrews 5:14.
There it is.
Thank you. but like, just do it with community. Don't just take one moment, take a long period of time And then we see over in scripture, hey, record what the Lord is saying. There's tons of encouragement in scripture. Record what I'm saying. Record what I'm saying. And God's faithful. He is faithful to give us what we need when we need it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very confident that if you're in a crossroads situation, waiting on the Lord, diving into scripture, being in community, and then just being willing for the crazy stuff that the Lord might bring your way to then direct you with the confirmation of scripture, then where the Lord is leading you. And it's beautiful. Stepping out in obedience can be scary, but it's beautiful because He's a good Father and He has good things for us.
It's so true.
He is good.
I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, just getting an impression, you know, quote unquote, getting an impression, that's not really enough for me. You know, like the thoughts that come to my mind, like, you know, how do I determine? And I think where I've kind of landed is like, I feel like we have a very high opinion of ourselves and of our hearts and of our minds. And like, you know what good thing can come from us? You know, and what does scripture say? It says the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And so I just have to believe that if there's something that is consistent with the character of God, that's consistent with scripture, and it comes to our minds, who are we to think that it came from us? You know, like that's I just have just really given up the idea that I have so much to offer in my brain and so much, you know, good guidance and wisdom for myself from myself, that good and really good thought must be from me. You know, oh, is it me or is it God? You know? And so I just think that we can trust our God who, gives really good wisdom. And He is the one who gives wisdom. Wisdom does not originate necessarily from us. And so I feel like that's where I've gotten to, instead of just doing the, you know, oh, this impression that can't be real. That can't be God. And good things come from the, you know, the Father of heavenly lights, as it says in James. And so, I feel like that was a transition that I had to get into, believing that good things probably from God, not necessarily my brain.
That is a great reminder. Thank you for that. And He is a good Father, and his desire is not for us to flounder or to question so much and try to figure out on His own. I mean, He's going to guide us where He wants us to go. So we can trust in that. So thank y'all so much for the blessing of this time with y'all.
Pleasure.
It was such a treat to see what y'all are doing, to see your faces, even though no one else gets to see your faces. I do. I'm blessed. All three of you.
We're big fans, Carlin.
It's so true. I love you. Thank you for taking the time listening to
absolutely. Us. Absolutely. So we will, I'll be in touch, as y'all move forward in your ministry, and the Lord's richest blessing on what y'all are doing. And may you just continue to feel His pleasure and through your obedience. And thank you for sharing your experience. I know this will bless a lot of people. So.